Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, as baseball continues here on our Players Weekend, we bring in Jenks. How about that? Jenks, are you ready?
I certainly am.
All right. Is that a good nickname for you?
Yeah. I've been called that since I was about 14.
All right. Very good. We'll get a uniform and put it on the back for you, Jenks.
Very good.
Are you enjoying Players Weekend?
Yeah. I mean, the uniforms are a little garish, you know, but it's for a good cause. I mean, you'd hate to see a guy throw a no-hitter or hit four home runs and the highlights always show up years from now and he's wearing this comical circus uniform. But no, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the nicknames, some of them are, you know, just, you know, of course, if we said Jenks, we understand Bruce Jenkins. But some of them are actually pretty good. Yasmanian Devil for Grandal.
Sonny Gray got back in the Yankees' good graces yesterday with pickles on his back.
Hey, he pitched a good game for the Yankees.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he should stick with that uni.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because, you know, of course, you know, we do the talk shows and all that. I thought Sonny Gray should be on the Giants' radar if the Yankees have sort of soured on him, a sour pickle. Maybe Sonny Gray would be. That's the kind of guy I'm looking for.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think there's anything wrong with his arm. He's had obviously a lot of problems, but you watch him every now and then, and he looks, you know, he's got four or five pitches. He's obviously a great guy. He'd love pitching in the Giants Park. I think that'd be a good guy to look into for sure. And, you know, he's very well regarded around the A's. He always will be.
He's kind of in that Matt Harvey realm. I think as far as the status of a pitcher, a guy who's fallen off of being a frontline guy who's an affordable pitcher to grab, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. His ERA is way up there, and it might seem like a bit of a risk, but one thing, as opposed to Harvey, I think he's a little bit better regarded among the players as a solid guy and not quite the partier that Matt Harvey was at his own expense.
Right.
No, he's not playing golf when he should be.
No, the off the field stuff is a whole different story. Right?
Yeah, no, that's a good comparison, though.
Yeah.
I like the comparison. Another one of the nicknames for Jerry Blevins, you see that one? Jerry. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I was watching an Arizona game, and the pitcher, Zach Godley, he's got like a John Lester-style problem throwing to the bases, and he's trying to get a guy at third, and he lobbed it. He made a ridiculous throw over there, and I go, who's that? And it said Bull on the back of his jersey. I had no idea who it was until they identified him. But, it's been a lot of fun. Underpants for Pence is pretty classic.
That's a good one. Ron Wota said just what you said. He said when you play an interleague game against the Rangers, he doesn't know who anyone is.
Oh, I know. I've been seeing it constantly on the highlights. And, well, I wonder who that is.
Well, I wonder about, like, trying to wave a guy home or looking at a defender's arm and not knowing about a switch that happened or not being totally aware just because you're not familiar with these guys anyway. And now they're wearing uniforms without their names on it.
Yeah, it's kind of a weekend of mystery in a way.
Yeah, right.
Well, the players are having fun, and we'll talk about posing in a second, but did you see Jose Arcia from the Brewers, what he did, Bruce?
I don't think I did.
All right, let me explain this one. So, you know, sort of a comical guy, and Aguilar is his buddy.
Yeah.
So Aguilar gets to put his batting helmet on, and as he's doing it, Arcia puts two pieces of candy, sticks them on top of the batting helmet like horns. And Aguilar knows nothing, goes up and hits, gets on base, hits a rocket, which he usually does.
Yeah.
And the first base coach takes the candy and eats it. This in the tradition of Casey Stengel and Leo DeRocher, come on, what's happened here?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So that is what's going on.
Well, the game has changed, for sure. The tradition of Casey Stengel and DeRocher, I don't think that would have flown.
I don't think so.
No. What happened to the hot foot? Don't they give a hot foot anymore?
Yeah, you know, that's funny. When I was covering the game, that was very common in the dugout. Guys would light a guy's spikes on fire. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know.
What fun.
Yeah.
That falls to the superstition of the game, too. The next time you go up to hit, it's like having the elephant ear. Don't you have to have the two pieces of candy in the as the horns when you go up for your next AB?
Yeah, you can't stop now. Let's go with a Mars bar on Milky Way this time.
I remember it was like when Fred Lewis hit for the cycle. It was on Mother's Day, and I always thought he should be up there with the pink bat and the wristbands every time out after that.
Oh, yeah.
Would have helped him.
It might have helped, yeah.
Fred Lewis.
Remember Bert Blyleven, Bruce?
Yeah, sure.
Now, he would crawl under the stands to get to the next area where the players were so he wouldn't be detected, so he could give a... He was the most notorious with the hot foot.
Yeah, he was a total prankster and a great, great pitcher, one of the great curveballs of all time.
Boy, fun. All right, that's enough of that. Let's get back to the serious...
Yeah, shenanigans.
Business. Right.
The serious part of baseball,
back
yeah.
Bruce, this Buster Posey surgery, of course, which is going to happen tomorrow. Maybe just your thoughts about how the Giants approach the winter, how they approach him, and maybe what his career looks like after this.
Well, you know, it's interesting. From what I've been reading, he really wants to catch, and his doctors have told him that he should be, you know, fully recovered. And if that's the case, and he actually is fully recovered and it's all behind him, you know, he's still young enough to be the Giants catcher. I just wonder, you know, hip surgery is no simple thing. I mean, we've seen it with Isaiah Thomas in the NBA. It's really derailed his career, and there's a matter of coming back too soon. You know, it's a very serious thing. It's not like your groin injury is going to heal and you're okay. I mean, I don't know. It puts them in a tough position if they believe Posey and the doctors. And say you're going to be the catcher, then, you know, they hang on to Brandon Belt, who's got a lot of value at first base, and they just proceed as normal. But I don't know. To me, I think there's a possibility that it will be tough for him to catch, and he does need to move to first base. And at that point, you know, what do you do with Belt? I don't think they want him in the outfield. So it's tough, and you're not going to know for a while.
That's kind of the bigger question is, how do they go about this offseason then, not knowing that Posey, one, will be back healthy for opening day, and two, may not be able to catch 120-plus games next year? Do you bring back Nick Hundley, but then what do you do with Brandon Belt, and how do you approach the lack of depth of catching in this organization? Any ideas, Bruce, for how they go about this?
Yeah, I was going to say, you obviously have to bring back Hundley. I don't think it would be too terribly difficult to get a decent backup catcher, which they don't have right now. They're really, really short in the organization. But, you know, getting a guy who can play the position, maybe do a little bit of hitting, that's certainly not impossible. I guarantee you they're going to do that, because they're going to need that backup if he can't go. And, of course, you know, Joey Bart is looming on the horizon. He's just a monster in the minor leagues. He's everything they were hoping he would be when they drafted him. But they just, you know, that was in June. He's not going to be ready in spring training by all accounts. So that's a ways off.
What do you think about Yasmani Grandal as a free agent for the Giants?
Oh, yeah. That'd be a heck of a pickup. He's a good hitter. He's a decent catcher. Why not?
Yeah, he's a good left-handed hitter, which would probably help him. He could probably hit it over this wall, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the thing about him, you know, he's a starting catcher in the league. I mean, I don't know if he wouldn't come here to be anybody's backup.
No. Well, he's sort of who's it, Barnes?
He really is. Like Bruce saying, he plays against righties, absolutely, but he's certainly a starting catcher. I mean, I think he's a guy you got to have in the lineup every day. And that's the question is, do they sign a guy or do you bring in somebody that would make you make the decision on moving Belt and having Posey at first when he comes back?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, there's no real answer there. And it's when you're not going to know for at least 6 months, it's a bit of a gamble. And you know, they're due for something to go their way. I hope they make the right call on that one.
Boy, isn't that the truth? Joey Gallo is here. They've been teasing me about it. I see the guy hit. He looks like Adam Dunn. I always felt Adam Dunn should have been in this ballpark at some point. But he played center field. He's 250 pounds. How about that?
Joey Gallo?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty limber. He's a big strikeout guy. He's very much the modern ball player, you know, going for the launch angle and striking out a lot. I mean, his power is just insane, though. I mean, he's got unusually fabulous power, and obviously the park wouldn't be any kind of daunting prospect for him at all. I wouldn't put him in center field in AT&T, that's for sure.
I feel like, Bruce, we're seeing more and more of that, though, across the league with guys who are just big power hitters. They're becoming, like, you see Chris Bryan and Cody Bellinger play some center field. I've seen them do it. Like, you saw Mark Canna play center field and first base, and like we just mentioned, Joey Gallo. They're sort of changing the game a little bit with how you use your outfield and getting bats in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, if you have enough hitting, you can cover up, you know, a slight weakness, which you might lose a little bit with Bryant or Bellinger in center, not a lot. But if you hit the heck out of the ball, and you got guys like Javi Baez and Schwarber, you know, and Justin Turner and that whole, you know, Dodger lineup, you can afford a little bit of lapse in defense. You know, for the Giants, I think they still need to play pretty good defense. That's one reason I think, you know, they should hold on to Crawford. Just because in that ballpark you're going to need good defense, and you need a really good shortstop if you want to win anyway.
Yeah, you do. Crawford is, I think, with Bumgarner, those are the two major pieces that you could get something back for. Now,
well, you could, yeah. I mean, Crawford's elite, but I'm saying, all of a sudden you've got, and Bumgarner to me is a very interesting trade piece. You could really get something for him. Crawford, I don't think you score that heavily, but. But the main thing is, if all of a sudden you've got an average guy at shortstop and he's not making the great plays, they're going to miss Crawford like crazy.
I know. He's one. Let's face it, all-star shortstop, gold glover, and, you know, the whole thing. The team that could use him, the Phillies. And the Phillies are so close to being back, but
they're not there yet.
I know they want Machado and they want Harper and all this. They're going to spend money. Mm-hmm. But they need a shortstop, and their defense is one of the worst in the league right now. They're having trouble staying afloat right now as we get into September. They have played under 500, but they're dying for a shortstop. And they will, I think they could be held up, Bruce. I think that's now, if you could ever convince Crawford and if you had a backup to go in there, but I think that's one place where you could get three or four people.
I'm pretty sure Crawford has a full no-trade clause,
he's a
real Bay Area guy. Yeah. I don't see that.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, you try to find a match, and that for me would be...
It's where we are, Bruce. We're trying to get creative. That's all, I think.
We're trying to trade Crawford. This is not good territory that we're in right now.
No, I don't think so.
Not good. I'm just talking. That's all. Just talking on a Sunday morning.
No big changes, and Sabian made that clear.
Yeah, I think so. So that's it. All right. What about the Red Sox? They lose yesterday. They lose a series. Tampa Bay is playing great. If Tampa Bay was in any other division, they'd be a threat. And the Yankees kill the Orioles. The Orioles may fall 60 games out of first place.
It's crazy.
But, you know, Simon, Bruce, the Yankees aren't dead yet with the Red Sox.
Well, it's six in the loss column right now. You're right. And they've got more games coming up with the Red Sox. And, you figured the Red Sox had to slow down at some point. They were on a preposterous pace there. And, you know, obviously the lineup is fantastic. It's top to bottom good. And the pitching's been great. But, you know, Chris Sale is having some problems with the shoulder again. And you look at the Yankees with Andujar and Gleyber Torres and, of course, Stanton and Judge. And if Sonny Gray gets back in there, I hope that gets close, because that's really going to be interesting. That may make it tough for the A's to really think about the Yankees and concentrate more on just staying ahead of Seattle for that second wild card spot.
Yeah, but as you said, they play each other. You know, in Yankees-Red Sox the end of September, of course, we'll see every game on TV. You know, it'll be forced upon us no matter what. But it could get interesting. That's one that you know, they could get interesting. The other one that came up, Mike Matheny. Not being there with the Cardinals. And, you know, he's a very serious guy, I think, and all things that people say about him. The other guy comes in and sort of turns everybody loose. It's like Jack McKeon coming in, you know, with a cigar. And says, just get out there and play ball. Or Bob Brenly putting the lineup on a napkin.
Right. There's no plausible explanation except for the cigar.
Exactly. Yeah. Really. Yeah. And this Cardinal thing, I tell you, Bruce, we're doing it again. It's happening again right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, well, we always talk about the Cardinals year after year on this show, and it just there's a consistency to them as a team, as a baseball town, as a threat. You know, they're four games out behind the Cubs, and that's a great, great rivalry that we're going to see again, and they're going to be playing each other. But, it's funny how just a change of mood can make such a difference. And, of course, you know, the Cardinals are very, very talented. I mean, Carpenter and Molina and Martinez and, you know, Colson Wong's making a great play every night. Harrison Bader is a fantastic player. So these races are going to tighten up, and it's going to be a tremendous September.
I think so.
Atlanta, it could be
fun. Atlanta too. Kevin Gausman is a great pickup for Atlanta.
Oh yeah, they're really fun to watch.
Yeah, so this is all good, and this is why baseball is, and it's going to start next weekend. We're into Labor Day weekend next weekend, and the race to the finish. It's what makes baseball. And I'll tell you something. Take a look at the Giants' schedule. It's no picnic. Other than the Mets, in San Diego, they got St. Louis. They've got Atlanta. They've got Milwaukee. They've got the whole West to deal with, and that's what they got the rest of the way. This is going to be interesting for them playing those teams.
Yeah, I mean they're technically not out of it. If they suddenly turn it around, they could get in it. But you know, more likely they're going to have a huge say in all these races.
Yes.
With all these teams that they're playing.
Yep.
And you know the Giants are they're no pushover. You know they're not going to lay down for anybody. And at the very least the pride factor is going to kick in and that's another great thing to think about September, because the games are going to matter a lot to the teams they're playing, and that puts an edge on the game.
Yeah, usually, you know, you get the West and maybe one series of someone else, but take a look at September for the Giants. This is going to be interesting. They got Arizona coming in tomorrow. Come on, Arizona lost another heartbreaker last night. Two out in the ninth inning. Guy gets on, and someone hits a double, and bango. Seager hit a double, and they end up losing a Denard Span home run.
Denard Span!
Into the pool.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. It's just completely nuts. I mean, trying to predict these things.
Isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I mean, 2 weeks ago, you would have had the Red Sox just completely coasting in, like, forget about it. You know, this is boring. And next thing you know, it's not at all boring.
No, they got to win a game.
Yeah.
Well, and the A's were never going to catch the Astros. They said it couldn't be done. They were way out of it. Now the A's are looking like they've got a shot at the division, and they could, if they get in as a wild card team, they could host that wild card game even.
That's completely nuts that they're right there with Houston.
Right?
Absolutely nobody could have seen that coming. And here they are. It's a game and a half. God, that's sensational.
It blows my mind.
They do have one more series with them.
Yeah. What a story. Very good. What's your day like today?
Oh, there's a lot going on. I've been watching some of the Little League World Series. The Hawaii team is a really very likable team. They're very, very fun to watch. Of course, the Japanese... I can't forget they're playing Korea or Japan right now. Anyway, but
Korea.
Yeah. Korea, that's right. We'll be pulling for Hawaii around here. Of course, the Giants and the A's, and I'm taping all kinds of. I'm taping like five games a day. I don't watch them all, but if something really dramatic happens, I want to see what the Dodgers and the Rockies and the Astros and
good.
You know, it's one of those typical Sundays, Marty. I might go out and it's five steps to the barbecue, so that's going to be my walk for the day.
That's great. That's good. Do you have one of those little meters that tells you how far you walk?
Yeah. Yesterday I checked in at 8.3 yards. I tell you, I'm a marathon man.
Yeah, 16 steps, Bruce. There you go. Yeah.
Great. I love it. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks as always.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Have a good afternoon.
You bet.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Very funny.